Toledo, we're famous for Glass, Art Tatum, Tony Pacos, Jamie Farr, a world-class museum, the Toledo Mud Hens and Walleye, an outstanding zoo and public library system. But who are the people that make our city so great? Welcome to the Soul of the Glass City podcast. I'm your host, Monique. If you want to meet a woman who is Toledo born and bred, talks the talk, walks the walk, and constantly pours back into her community and our city, look no further. That is Mrs. Candace Harrison.
Hey, thank you.
How are you today, Candace?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm awesome. So tell us about your Toledo roots. What was it like for you growing up as a child, teen in the Glass City?
Okay, so it was definitely an experience. I grew up in, well, we lived a few different places. My grandmother raised me, and one of the first places that I can remember, we lived on a street called Roslyn, which was actually kind of foreshadowing to where I would end up later in life at Central Catholic. But we lived at Roslyn near Cherry Street in a duplex there. And I remember from there, we moved into a house that was on Pinewood, you know, Central Toledo, kind of near the new Mott Library, actually. It was in the same block. And then from there, we moved back to North Toledo. And that's where I grew up most of the time, in North Toledo on Erie Street. The apartment still stands. And I was raised by my grandmother, who had already raised her children and had taken me on just so that I could grow up and have everything that I needed as a young person. I went to Toledo Public Schools from grades K through 8. Washington Elementary, that's no longer there. I went to Robinson, and then late in the year of my 8th grade year, I went to Burndale, really just making some kind of poor choices at Robinson, and my grandma decided to kind of put me in a different environment to create some change, and that's how I ended up Central Catholic. It's one of those things that even now, having children in private schools, I wonder, you know, how my family was able to make it happen. I do, my mother, who was definitely around and a part of my life, but just she wasn't raising me like my grandmother was, had some involvement in Central because, again, they saw a future for me that I didn't see for myself. I was dead set on going to Macomber. I wanted to go to Macomber, believe it or not, to do hair.
Oh, I mean, that's why your hair is so fly today. Okay.
Well, and I grew up going, my grandmother did hair for a living. And okay. So I had been going to salons getting my hair done since I was 5.
Oh.
And so that's the world I knew. And so I was like, that's what I want to do. And she was, you know, like, no. You know, you don't want to work for people like that for your life on your feet, using your hands. You're smarter than that. I want you to go do something different. And my mom also, like I said, had that desire for me. And so I started high school in Central Catholic. I say it all the time. One of the best decisions I ever made was going there. My life was transformed through high school. Then I spent a little time at Eastern Michigan in college. And then from there, came back to UT where I graduated. Undergrad and then graduate school at Spring Arbor. So I've been here my whole entire life.
That is so exciting. So currently you have many roles that you just slay in this present day, two of which are wife and mother.
Yes.
How do you balance your family responsibilities with your professional career?
One thing that's really important to me, and I think I make that clear everywhere I talk, is that my family is always first. My children, my husband, they just come first. And I have been very blessed in that I've been able to have roles that allow me to navigate what I need to do for them. In part, I've never taken a role that would require so much of me that I couldn't attend to my home. So that's really important to me just because I look at it like, you know, jobs come and go, you know, you leave, they ask you to leave. You know, however you end up leaving a job, but my family is the only one that's going to still be standing through it all. And so it's the priority. So, like I said, I kind of look at my work in the community that way. I bring them into a lot of it. So sometimes you'll see me show up to stuff. People all over town know my son because I used to drag him everywhere when I used to do service in the community or I go somewhere and speak or sometimes at work. When I worked for, you know, the schools, I might have to bring him. And, you know, it's kind of the same with my daughter, I should say. And people, like I said, they know them. I've instilled service mentality for them. kind of going hard in whatever it is that you want to do in them. So it's not an easy balance in that it takes some thinking, you know, before you step into something. I don't commit to anything if I can't do it in full, because I have to look, okay, what's my, like right now, my daughter's schedule.
Yeah.
It's kind of running my life right now. So it's like, what does she have to do? Okay, can I do that in the evening? No, I cannot. So, you know, and she's a sophomore, so I only have a few more years of that.
Yeah.
You know, she'll be on her way to college. And I'll have more time to do some of the things that I really want to do.
So funny, because I'm taking notes in my head, because I have a sophomore and a junior, and I have one that's in Slovakia, as you know, for Rotary. And I totally understand what you're saying. Could you share with our listeners what role you have taken on presently in your professional career, and just how impactful that work is that you're doing?
So I want to just also give a background to how kind of everything ended up to this position.
Mm-hmm.
Like I told you, I grew up in North Toledo, and I live with my grandmother. She didn't have a lot of money, so we did a lot of walking and riding the bus everywhere.
I totally did that with my kids, so I'm not even going to say that I'm not one of them.
Yeah, it was funny. I don't know what I was doing that was connected to TARDA, and as we were having this conversation, I was remembering, I can still remember like bus numbers and where they go. Like if I see a bus and it's like a 5, I know it's going down Door Street.
Yes.
But it's like I rode the bus the majority of my life. And it's funny because the world was different.
Mm-hmm.
I used to ride the bus by myself.
Yes.
At like, you know, 11, 10 years old, transferring downtown and everything. And so because of that, I would see a lot of the downtown. So I would always, you know, we'd be at Woolworth. That was my grandmother's spot. That was always a treat for me, doing all this walking and her paying her bills and everything. She would take me there to sit and have like a shake. And that was like my buy-in for doing all the running with her on foot. And so one of the things I used to see was the SSOE building. But we didn't know what they did there. We just walked by. It's by the library. And we would see it. And then, you know, years passed. I worked at Greyhound when I was in college, around the corner
from
SSOE.
What's so funny is that I used to ride the Greyhound to go back to New York all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So that the Greyhound also has a big impact on my life. I'd go like once a year back to New York. So, and people are like, "You ride the Greyhound?"
Yeah, a lot of people used to, and I still have some very, very long time friendships that I made there. People that are still very close friends of mine from that employment all the way back in college. But again, I would see it, the organization, never know much about, you know, what they did there. I just recognized the building and the logo. And then fast forward, you know, I had a career in communications. I don't like to feel like I left it. I kind of feel like I just kind of stepped to add a little bit to how we communicate and how this kind of impacts an organization differently. Just working for the zoo, University of Toledo Medical Center, TPS, everywhere, Toledo Museum of Art, in leadership and communications, I've been fortunate. So when the opportunity came to go work at SSOE, it was on the heels of COVID. And a lot of the communications work I had been doing personally, like my role with the AAF in the Mosaic Committee, I had been working with some different ad agencies to help them start thinking about how they can present their clients as a more diverse organization, how to become more diverse in the way that you think about advertising, like even just voiceovers, or thinking about like the representation that you see. You know, you might see a commercial in years past, not a single person of color. So that tells me, as a person of color, when I see that, I'm not really who you're looking for at this place. But if that's not the message they want to send, how can you organically fix that? So I started transitioning over into DEI and communication some years before COVID. Then we had all this national unrest, and a lot of companies started deciding we want to do better. And so then I started to be called upon in that way. Can you help us think differently about how to reach community? We want to do better. Simultaneously, this was happening at SSOE, unbeknownst to me. That they were having some discovery amongst their employees and saying, hey, we realize we're not as diverse as we like to be. We want to do better. We want to hear from our employees and know more about what their experience is like working here. And through that discovery, they learn it's not what they had perceived it to be for their employees of color and their women. And so our CEO, Vince DePaffi, who is my boss, did some, he had a consultant come in to determine, is this a consultant role? And the consultant determined, no, you need to hire somebody. Then I went through the process to be hired. It was very extensive. Believe it or not, this is one thing that I tell somebody was the most daunting part of it. My very first interview was with the CEO.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, you normally start with HR
girl.
And work up.
But, no. But this is you, okay?
No. He said this person's going to report to him, and he wanted to make sure before he presented someone to the company that it was someone he even felt was a fit.
Okay.
And so, you know, went through the process, and I got hired in March of 2022. It's been almost 2 years.
Oh, wow.
And
time has passed.
It sure has. It's gone very fast. But we've been able to accomplish a lot. We are impacting our internal company where, you know, we're starting to create new things and create opportunities for our employees to do more and feel valued, to feel seen and heard, and to have a place working with human resources to think about how we recruit differently. Working with HBCUs, we awarded our first scholarship.
I've seen that.
We have employee resource groups, which is something that's very new to the company. And we started with three, and we've since added two more. And then we've also impacted the community different. So you'll start to see our logo in different places that you hadn't seen it, because we not only want to just support organization like internal, we want to be a big part of who our community sees as supporting. And maybe like our charge is obviously architecture, engineering, that's what we do as a company. But we understand like young people or other, you know, organizations that do STEM or just supporting our community differently is something that not only we want to do, but we're kind of responsible to do. We're a large employer here, and, you know, you want to know that organizations in your town care about the community.
You are dang right about that. With all that being said, your title is?
Director of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion at SSOE.
Okay. So what words of advice or encouragement would you give to a young Toledo person coming out of high school or college that you feel may inspire them to pour back into our city and its ecosystem?
Well, the first thing I would tell a young person is definitely listen to your parents. Because if I had listened to what my brain was talking about at 17, even at 25, I certainly would not have made some of the decisions that have gotten me to where I am now. And I still, you know, still have more to go, you know, so I don't feel like I'm just at the top. But I do feel like I've accomplished quite a bit in my time, you know, as a person throughout my career. So definitely listen. And if it's not your parents, just a trusted person who has lived a little, who can kind of share some insight and share some things ahead that you just don't see. When you're young, you are carefree because you're coming into yourself. And as you grow and as you experience, you do learn and have a little bit to share. So that's one thing that I would say. And the second thing is don't always assume that the pathway is going to be point A to B. Because I'll be the first to tell you, I hit D, E, F, G, A, B, C, all of them, getting to this point. And that's okay. I've been open to it all. I've learned a lot, met a lot of great people, worked with a lot of great companies, and really kind of grew in who I am as a person in Toledo. And I think those experiences, it creates opportunity for you to learn what the needs are in Toledo. So the last part I want to leave with is I spent a lot of time in my 20s and in my 30s and my early 40s, because I'm coming toward the end of that now. I spent a lot of time during those years saying yes to everything, because you, when you're young and people are calling on you to do things, you get this sense of pride, like, oh, they want me to be on this board. Oh, they want me to do that. But they also know when you're a committed, dedicated person, they can always come to you for stuff. Mm. And then I started noticing that I was like working a lot on a lot of things that maybe I knew was, they were good causes, but they weren't causes I was passionate about. And so I was giving my time to things that I didn't always believe in. And that was taking me away from home. At a point, I started realizing, when I give my time, I need to give my time strategically to support things that really matter to me, because time is money. And when you're volunteering for these organizations, rarely do you just get to sit there and listen and do nothing. Something will be expected of you. If it's not fundraising, it's some sort of work, it's something that they will be expecting you to do.
It's time where you could be making money somewhere else.
Or it's time or you could just be at home. Yes. You know, yeah. And so think about how you want to impact the community and make sure that it's something you believe in, because then you feel so much more positive and it feels effortless when you're serving. And I said that was the last one, but I lied. I have one more. The last thing, and I tell when I speak in schools, I do a lot. One of the things, I'm on the board at Central Catholic, and I always say I try to be the person that I needed when I was young. So whatever that is, try to be that person.
You know you're amazing, right?
Thank you.
My last question for you was, what are your favorite things to do in Toledo when it's time to decompress?
Well, do I get to decompress? No, I'm just playing. Lately, honestly, it's my daughter's thing, but she's playing volleyball, and we've really gotten into it. We love watching it. So it's not a decompression thing by any means. It's very loud. It's super.
Well, is it decompression for you because it's a hobby?
And it's kind of, okay. Well, we enjoy it because she's thriving in it. But what do I do to decompress? Honestly, one of the things, and you see me there all the time, I definitely spend a lot of time at Toll House. Mm-hmm. And I spend time at Toll House sometimes. I go there and work. Our environment is hybrid, and sometimes if it's like a gloomy day like today, I may not go into the office, but I also may need to get out of the house so I can be productive. So, you know, go there to work. But then I also spend a lot of evenings there just, you know, spending time with friends, Brandon, my husband, and I, spending time there. My children and I have shows that we watch. So believe it or not, I watch a lot of mindless TV. I don't watch documentaries I love. But I watch a lot of, Power, all of the franchises of Power.
Yeah.
Insecure was one of my favorite shows. So I really enjoy those kind of things. I like social media. You know that. So I spend a lot of time communicating with people on there. And recently, I've gotten into listening to more podcasts than I used to listen to because we're doing one and those kinds of things. And then, like I said, just having the opportunity to spend time with the people that I love, just doing whatever that is.
That sounds great. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. I'm your host and producer, Monique. My executive producer is Chris Pfeiffer. Join me next time for another exciting episode of Soul of the Glass City podcast. For more information, if you have questions or comments, go to wgte.org/soul.
WGTE. Voices around us.
WGTE is supported in part by the American Rescue Plan Act funds, allocated by the City of Toledo and the Lucas County Commissioners, and administered by the Arts Commission.